Proverbs. Proverbs 18 and 21. That is one of the key verses for this particular series that we are doing currently. All right? Mm-hmm. Here we go. Hallelujah. Proverbs, 18. See, electronically, sometimes you mess up. You hit the wrong button. All right. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for teaching, for ministering to your people today. God, that you would even teach me. God, that you would speak to me as I preach. And Father, that I submit myself to you, Lord, to be used by you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So we've been talking about, you may be seated, coming alive in 25. Coming alive in 25, or as we've been saying, come alive in 25. It's a little more succinct that way, right? And as I was preparing this segment of today's time that we have together in the Word, I came across, or what kind of came up in me. How many have ever seen the movie Greatest Showman? How many ever saw that movie? All right. It was a movie probably maybe 5-6 years ago. If you haven't seen it, it is an inspirational movie. It's not actual factual, but it is inspirational. And definitely, it's not Christian, so don't take my advice that it is. It's not. But one of the songs in that particular show, it has some lyrics, and I'm going to read them to you just really quickly. Listen to this and see if you can possibly even identify with a little bit of it. You stumble through your days. You got your head hung low. Your sky's a shade of gray, like a zombie in a maze. You're asleep inside, but you can shake awake. 'Cause you're just a dead man walking. As believers, we're not dead men walking, by the way. And then he says this, thinking that you're the only option. That's your only option. But you can flip the switch and brighten up your darkest day. Sun is up and the color's blinding. Take a world and redefine it. Leave behind your narrow mind. You'll never be the same. Come alive. Come alive. Go and light your light. Let it burn so bright, reaching up to the sky, and it's open wide. You're electrified. And the world becomes a fantasy. And you're more than you could ever be, because you're dreaming with your eyes wide open. And you could, and you know you can't go back again to the world that you were living in, because you're dreaming with your eyes wide open. So come alive. I see it in your eyes. You believe that lie, that you need to hide your face. Afraid to step outside, so you lock the door, but you don't have to stay that way. No more living in those shadows. You and me, we know how that goes. 'Cause once you see it, oh, you'll never, never be the same. A little bit of lightning striking, bottling up to keep on shining. You can prove there's more to you. You cannot be afraid. Come alive, come alive, go and light your light. Let it burn so bright, reaching up to the sky, and it's open wide. You're electrified. And then he goes on to say, come one, come all, come in, come on, to anyone who's bursting with a dream. Come one, come all, to hear the call, to anyone who's searching for a way to break free. And the world becomes a fantasy, and you become more than you could ever be, because you're dreaming with your eyes wide open. And we know we can't go back again to the world we were living in, because we're dreaming with our eyes wide open. Now, again, not Christian lyrics, not scripture. But if the world can use that to motivate and inspire people to break out of the norm, how much more, because we as believers, we're not stumbling in the dark. Before Christ, we may have been stumbling in the dark, wondering who hit us. In fact, Scripture alludes to that, that we were once darkness, but now we are light. The Apostle Paul wrote to us in Colossians, we have been transformed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So now we're talking about coming alive in 25. Coming alive or come alive in 25. And now go over with me. This has been another key part of this series, has been Ezekiel chapter 37. So please go there, if you would, please. Ezekiel 37. And we're going to go ahead and look at that. Ezekiel 37. This is the Valley of Dry Bones, right? Famous passage of scripture. And the hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. You shall then know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Hallelujah. There was no breath in them. But then you see what happens. God, when God tells you to speak something and tells you what to say, that circumstance can't stay the same. That circumstance, that situation. Now, you may not see everything happening. You may not see it and see, oh, that situation is changing. But you don't have to see it. Just know that it's changing. Know that it's changing. You don't have to see, you don't have to see the progress bar like we when we look at computers and we download something, you see a progress bar. Those are never accurate anyway. I work with technology, I get it. You know, people say to me, say, oh, this says I have to wait 37 minutes. And I look at the person and I say, don't worry about it, you're not gonna have to wait 37 minutes. It lies. You might have to wait an hour. Or you might have to wait 15 minutes and I have no idea what it is. But know that God is at work when we speak His word. When we speak His word, those situations have to change. They have to change. And we see that in this story of Ezekiel speaking to the dry bones. So verse, he said, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Amen. So this is, again, the four points that we have been hammering in this particular series is this. We know that Ezekiel obviously was positioned, he was positioned in relationship with God. Yeah. A position with a relationship with God. You know, when I was first a Christian and I would hear Christians talk about, and the Lord said to me this, and the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that, I got a little confused because I was like, God's never talked to me. Because what was being conveyed, I had an image in my mind what that looked like. You know, I had the, you know, the bush on fire, Moses. That's what I had in my mind. I didn't really fully understand that as you walk with God, that still small voice, that impression that many Christians will say, and the Lord spoke to me, that's really what they're talking about. They're not trying to embellish. They're not trying to deceive you. They're not trying to make you feel less spiritual than you are. They're conveying the only words they know, and that is, I heard God, and I have a relationship with God, and He led me to do X, Y, and Z. Now, do we sometimes miss it and say it's God? Oh, yes. Happens. It's happened to me, and I'm sure that if I were to really sit down every one of you, it's happened to you, where you thought God said something to you, and then you were like, oops. Or it really was what He said, but you were putting your own interpretation on what was said. You had your own thought of what that was supposed to be. Yet God was speaking. God was speaking. And the way you know it is that when you look in the rearview mirror, that was God. I didn't miss it. And God, there's somebody in here. You've been wrestling with that. You feel like there was a situation. Maybe it was a business decision. Something that you've been wrestling with. And you were like, I thought God told me to do that, and it just didn't turn out. It just didn't turn out the way I thought. Listen to that thought that I just gave voice to. It didn't turn out the way I thought. I feel like this is for somebody, whether they're online or they're here. You thought you heard God in that particular situation, and it didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out. And it's been a struggle. And I feel like God is wanting to tell you, you heard right. You heard right. And I'm going to bring you through the struggle to the other side. All right? Praise God. All right. So we talked about the fact that Ezekiel, he had a position with God, right? He was positioned in the right place at the right time. The reason why God could show him how to get that miraculous situation to come alive was because he had a relationship with God. It was because he communed with God to the point that God could take him places. See, God wants to take you and me to places in our relationship with Him. And those places are places of prayer. They're places not just of prayer. They're places of miraculous miracles. They're places of miracles. But you can't go there unless you're walking with Him. You can't go there and hear that voice clear enough to do it unless you're staying close to what He says. He's not going to be able, if you're not giving Him attention and reading His word and communing and listening to Him, then it's hard for Him to adjust you. That's why, honestly, that is why being a part of a local church is important. Why? Because you get that consistent reminder of what God is trying to say to you. There have been times I've been sitting and listening to a minister, and Pastor Christine and I, we listen to a minister, and God's just downloading stuff that has nothing to do with what the minister is saying. How many know that that's true? But God's talking to you about you, because you're in his assembly, with his people, and he's able to manifest himself in a different kind of way. And what's really neat is those of you that are not really great at multitasking, probably anybody that's a man in here, although there are some men who are good at multitasking, so not all of them aren't, but typically not, and it's amazing, because when you are listening to the Word of God, God can be talking to you about that preached word, but he can be talking to you about something else, and you get them both. Say, I get them both. See, if you'll listen, you'll get them both. Whatever he's saying to you, you'll get it. And then what he's saying to us, you'll get it. Hallelujah. And we're going to grow up that way. So the position with God is what Ezekiel was. That is your prayer life. That's your time. That's why I encourage you, it's the beginning of the year, take some time to pray. If the Lord leads you, let him lead you into maybe fasting. You don't have to like say, I'm going to go fast on a 30-day fast. Don't do that if you haven't even fasted one meal. When you fast, what are you doing? You're giving the time that you would normally prepare or eat food, giving it to him. It's extra. It's over and above. It's kind of like an offering. Offering's over and above what's all his anyway. The tithe is his. Anything over, that's just whatever he tells you to do, right? So that's offering. That's over and above. So the same is true with our prayer life and our time with him. And that's our relationship. That's our relationship. And when we understand that relationship is where everything flows out of, that relationship is where everything flows out of. Our satisfaction, our joy, everything comes out of that. It doesn't come out of the temporal stuff that's here on earth. It comes out of communing with him. So that when God takes us to those places and shows us that dead thing in our life, right? That dead thing. That thing you gave up on. That thing you got really discouraged on. And he tells you to pick it up again. Or he says, I'm going to breathe new life into that dream. I'm going to bring you into a place where you're going to speak to those dead things. That dead business idea. That dead relationship. That dead, come on people. That dead job situation. And he's going to bring life back into it, but he's going to tell you what to do, right? We're going to partner with him. Partner. Say partner. Partner is not he does everything and I do nothing. Partner with him. God, what do you want me to do? What's my part? What's my part? What's my part in this? Because if we want the supernatural, it's both the natural and the supernatural that come together to make something happen. Pastor Hagen, my pastor, says it this way. When the natural and the supernatural come together, it makes an explosive force for God. Because God's looking for people he can partner with. And when you partner with him, that means there's an act of obedience. God, what do you want me to do? And I will do it. Pastor Christine just talked about it. Go to the store. I'm thankful. I was sitting on the couch, praying, reading the word, getting ready for today. I was sitting on the couch. She said, oh, I went to the store. I went, oh, good, I don't have to go to the store later. I was thankful, right? But there have been times where, I mean, there was this disgusting thing that I had to go pick up. in the middle of a crowded place, hundreds of people. This is during Christmas time. And it looked really gross. And I'm like, I gotta pick that up. It's right there in front of everybody, whatever it was. And I remember one of the guys says, oh, I wouldn't pick that up. One of the guys I work with. And I'm like, I'm picking it up. Why? Because the still small voice down on the inside said, pick it up. If you can't do the little things, God will never get you to the big things. I'm going to say it again. If you can't do the little things, God will never get you to do the big things. You want to see the valley of dry bones raise up? You want to see those miracles, those kind of miracles? Then you have to do the little things. The simple things that are laid out in Genesis through Revelation. You want to know what God's will is? It's right there. He's written it out for us. He'll tell you how to walk with your relationships. He'll tell you the book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom. How to deal with money. Right? How to deal with money. Don't be a slave to the lender. Right? Don't do that. God has an answer for absolutely everything. There's a God answer. Give and it shall be given to you. Oh, okay. Put God first in the first fruits offering, and God will open up the windows of heaven, according to Malachi, and pour out the blessing on you. And you, oh, I want the blessing. It's the little things of obedience that actually help get us there. We want to see. We want to partner with God. We partner with Him, and He'll tell you what to do, but then He'll tell you not just what to do, but He'll tell you what to say. He'll tell you what to say. I'm going to illustrate it like this. I can have a little help, please. Move this right here. All right. And yes, put that up there. Not the whole stand, just that thing. I need to stop this one. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever played Jenga? Yeah, if you came to a retreat, you played Jenga. In front. Both of them. Yes.
Was it
ready? I think so.
We'll Jenga.
Okay. All right, so we're getting this in place. And turn with me while they're doing that to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. All right, get it ready. There we go. All right. Brother Adam, you got it. That's great. Okay. I woke up this morning and God just showed me this picture, and He says, show the people this. And I said, okay, I'm going to show the people this. So I just, you know, sometimes God gives you an impression on what you're supposed to do, and you see it happening. So then you do it. So this is what we're supposed to do, okay? If you can put that kind of in the kind of similar in nature.
It sounds loose.
It's not right.
If that one's not right. Okay, there we go.
We're trying.
I know. Everybody, this is perfect. All right. So Mark chapter 11. Go ahead and do that. So we'll do that for time's sake. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Now, don't forget, because we've already read it, that Ezekiel was told exactly what to say, right? Mm-hmm. He was told exactly what to say in order for God's word to bring about change in that situation. And here we go. In verse 22 of Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and verse 24. 22, 23, and 24. Okay? Hallelujah. And I'm going to go ahead and read this. Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Hallelujah. I know you guys are doing great.
We're working hard.
Passion Translation says this. Let the faith of God be in you. Listen to the truth I speak to you. Whoever says to this mountain with great faith and does not doubt, mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the midst of the sea, and believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Be convinced that you have received it, and it will be yours. Praise God. Hallelujah. One more translation that we're going to look at. New Living Translation says this.
Is this even?
Kind of.
Is it even?
It's good enough.
It's not bad.
Are you good enough?
I'm good. This is good. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what I want. There we go. That's what I saw when I woke up.
All right.
Hallelujah. Then Jesus said to his disciples, New Living Translation, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen, and no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Hallelujah. Now, remember over there in Ezekiel 37, God basically gives Ezekiel the words to speak to the dry bones. And we started off this morning, Proverbs 18:21, the power of life and death is in the tongue. So our words do have power. And I want to remind you that all the way back in Genesis, well, when man was evil, fallen man was evil, and they began to build a tower to go to the sky, what was the first thing that God had to do to limit their evil? He had to change their language so that they wouldn't be unified in their speech. That was a lesson that we can connect to this lesson. What we say is very, very important. What we speak is very important. So you speak God's word on a matter. Now, this is what I saw, this little sign that my daughter made for me. It says, what will you say to your mountain? A mountain is something that you want moved. It's very similar to dry bones that you want to come alive. A mountain is something that seems impossible, and it seems like it's just a waste of time. 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary was the first person to ever ascend Mount Everest. Not on his first try, but on his second or third try, if I'm not mistaken. But in between that time, he had a gathering of explorers and people that were trying to ascend Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world. And one of the things that he said, they had a big picture in the room of Mount Everest. And at one point he's talking. Now he has not yet ascended Mount Everest. He speaks to the picture and he says, Everest, you shall be ascended. And it was the next year that he made it to the top. Why do I say that? It's because what are you saying to your mountain? If somebody who we don't even know what his spiritual state was speaking to something physical to see something happen, how much more if you have God's word on something like, I am healed, I'm the healed of the Lord. Pain, you have no place in my body. By the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. And I receive that healing. Lack, you have no place in my finances. I'm a giver, and I am not a doubter. I believe. And I'm putting God first, and I'm watching God help me in my finances. And good deals are coming my way. Cars are lasting longer than they should. I'm riding around on a car that's been resurrected twice. I got to the point, at one point, I scraped off all of the information. I took out everything, took the license plate off of it, and it was sitting at a junkyard getting ready to be towed away to the junkyard. I know what that's like, but you know, God has a way of resurrecting things. He showed us what to do, and we did it. What is that? Partnering with God. Partnering with God. Lasted a lot longer, right? Year and a half longer. And then another time, and again, we listened to God. At first, I listened to myself, my mind, what I could think. I took it to the most convenient mechanic that I knew. He gave me bad news. So I went back to the mechanic that resurrected the car the last time. He goes, oh, yeah, this isn't that bad. Come and pick it up on such and such. I'll have it fixed. And cheaper than the other one. A lot cheaper. And certainly cheaper than buying another one. What? Every little situation in your life, every situation, your health, your finances, relationships, your workplace. So this is how we do it. If you want your mountain to move, you start speaking. Right? You start speaking. Okay, I speak the word of God over this situation. By His stripes, I'm healed. You might not see anything different.
Lord, you got an answer.
Lord, you've got an answer. Instead of saying, I don't know what to do, you've got an answer. What are you doing? You're speaking God's word over it. I have the mind of Christ. Lord, my body is still dealing with this health situation. If I could get rid of X, you fill in the blank, I could be more effective for you. Lord, I know that you sent your word and it healed them, and I received your word. Every time you speak the word, Hebrews 4:12 says that the word is powerful. It's quick. You might not see it. Still looks like the mountain is staring at you and making fun of you. The mountain is still staring at you, making fun of you. Oh, yeah. Yep. Bank balance still says this, right? The bills, you name it. You know, that situation, that legal situation that you're in, still staring you in the face. But my God, shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. And you keep speaking the word over that situation. Every time you just keep speaking it, keep speaking it by the word of God, right? I believe I received. I'm speaking according to Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. I have faith in God. Say, I have faith in God. I'm speaking to my mountain, right? And you begin to just keep doing it. You keep doing it. You keep doing it. Every time you do it, every single time, eventually, that mountain is going to move. Eventually, that mountain will move. Now, this also can work in the negative. this is what I felt like God wanted me to share with you. You keep saying, I'm sick. I'm tired. I'm broke. That mountain just keeps getting taller. Nothing's working. What am I going to do? Oh, what am I going to do? I don't know. I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? That mountain just seems like it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it wants to discourage you. Every time you speak negative things that are contrary to God's word, it's like building up more barriers to see that mountain move. So every time, so when you say, Lord, I believe that I receive that situation. I believe I'm gonna keep speaking your word over that, not just what you think. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is not just, you know, think and grow rich. This is not what the world has as a counterfeit. This is God's word that says, speak his word, and it's supernatural. And if you're in relationship with him, you're positioned in the right position. And if you have decided to obey whatever he says to you, do it. Isn't that what Jesus said to the servants that were going to fill up the water pots? Whatever Mary says to you, do it. And they didn't just do it a little bit, they did it to the max. So if you would have that same attitude, Ezekiel spoke to the dry bones because he spoke what God said to speak over that situation. If you're walking with God, God's going to show you what to say. He's going to lead you to that verse. And that verse has power in it to speak it. And that's what we call a rhema word. You hear us talk about rhema. There's two words in the Greek language that have to do with the word. One is logos, that's the written word of God. Rhema is the spoken word of God by the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not writing more scripture. We're not talking about that. That's not what we're doing here. The word of God, we're not adding to the word of God, right? What we're doing is we're speaking what's already been written. It is written. Hey, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. My sustenance comes from God. I look to the mountains whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. He sent his word and healed me. Do you hear what I'm telling you here? This is good. And if you will activate this in your life, and I believe you are, I believe you are. Say, I am activating the word of God because I'm positioned. I'm a partner. And I am prophesying to dry bones in my life, to mountains that stare me down, that they must go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now you give him praise. You just give him praise. You just give him praise. You give him praise because praise will always defeat the enemy in our lives. It silences the negative voices that constantly come at us. That's why fasting and spending time in prayer shuts out all the negative voices. Sometimes you just need to shut off, turn off, delete the app, do whatever it is possible to isolate yourself to say, you know what, I'm going to just listen to the Lord this week.
Yeah,
right?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's so what are you going to say to your mountain? You got to say it, move. You got to speak it. And you got to speak what the word says, and you do it with the word. And that's how these mountains move. Don't negate what you've been saying by saying things that are absolutely opposite. After you've said, I've got the mind of Christ, I have the wisdom of Christ, I've asked for God's wisdom according to James chapter 1, He gives me wisdom, I'm not doubting, and then not tomorrow morning you wake up and you say, I don't know what to do. I'm so in debt, I just don't know what to do. What am I going to do next? I don't know where the money's coming from. How about we switch what we're saying? How about at least put it in neutral and zip the lid? Stop yourself. And if you need to, your flesh won't like it. But stop yourself while you're sharing that negative stuff with your friend. And say, you know what? That was just really negative of me. Your pride ain't going to like that. But it'll teach your flesh a lesson. Don't do it. You're believing God for something big. Don't do it. Don't do, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, I have the mind of Christ. Come on. So you see it? This is visual. This is what I woke up this morning, and this is what God showed me and said, show the people this. That every negative word they do, they build up that mountain, that situation. But every time they speak the word of God, they're removing it even when they don't see it with their eyes. Even when they don't see it with their eyes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Word of God works. It works. So our lessons for this Come Alive in 25. Remember I told you that God began to deal with us, the Mitchell family, about speaking negatively. And we've caught each other a couple times since then. And we've even called each other out. And we laugh. We laugh a little bit. Sometimes it hurts the pride. Okay, but we laugh a little bit because we're practicing. We're practicing what we're bringing you because God's word works. Okay, it works. We've seen it work a thousand times over in the years we've walked with Him, and so it's He's still working and we're still growing. I don't want to be the same way I was last year. I want to be different. I want to know Him better, hear Him clearer, and experience Him in greater new ways. So, come alive in 25. What are you saying to your mountain? What are you saying to your dry bones? Speak God's word. It will change your circumstances. And you're going to be able to give Him praise, and others will see the difference. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You, God, for Your help today in preaching, in teaching, and illustrating how powerful Your word is. Thank You for giving us Your word. You've given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of You. If we'll just put it into practice. Lord, I thank You that it's not that we need more knowledge. We need more doing what we know. Father, help us to be those doers, to partner with You, to speak what You say, and to do what You say do. Lord, help us to be obedient to the point, God, that we can just point people to You because Your goodness goes with us. Your goodness follows us. And Your mercies are just so evident in our life, so we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. If there be anybody that might not know the Lord Jesus, or you need to recommit your life to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity right now. If that's you, I'm just going to ask everybody with bow their head one more time, and just, if that's you, just giving you an opportunity to have privacy. We're going to pray a simple prayer out loud together. And if you'll pray that prayer, if you're watching at home, and you'll mean it with your heart, I believe God will meet you right there. And you will either become a new creation or you'll come back to the Lord. Let's say it out loud. Say, Father God, according to Romans 10, 9 and 10, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, that He's the Son of God, He died for my sins. I receive His forgiveness. And right now, I call Jesus my Lord, my Savior. And I thank You, Lord, for causing me to be born again, to be restored to fellowship with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or it was a recommitting your life, please let us know. We'd like to send you some things on through the Facebook Messenger app. We'd like to help you find a church and that sort of thing. We will see you Wednesday evening on Foundations Live. And God bless you. Let's stand right now, and we have our sending out verse. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. If you are dismissed, if you need any special prayer, I'm going to be right here. Hot chocolate. Hot chocolate. Thank you.